No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where coffee, 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 coffee. Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 15, given on this day for August 2019. I'm glad to be here to talk to you all about shit, reading your emails and discussing your comments and points of view. Why? Because as always, you make this show great. And speaking of great, ladies and gentlemen, I am really proud, really honored to have our favorite librarian on the show today. Miss Leslie, how are you?
I'm doing very well this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm really glad to have you. I'm really excited. I hope the listeners are just as excited as well, because I'm starting to wonder, you know, and I'll be honest, I began to think that I get some responses from fans, but you are the primary individual that sends me emails, right? Mm-hmm. And then I started to think, as I'm reading the emails, and, you know, and talking about your point of view based on previous episodes, that that people were thinking, he's making that person up. That person doesn't exist.
I'm very real.
No, and glad that you are. And, you know, to let everybody know, you and I, we actually just met on Facebook. We were messaging each other. We friended each other. Yeah. And that's just how we met. And this is the first time you and I have actually interacted virtually overall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So unbelievable. But So ladies and gentlemen, just to be clear, I did have a script for this show, and then I started to think, well, I really didn't give Leslie enough time to see what we were going to talk about today. So we were discussing freestyling it. Actually, I used the term freeballing it, and she was asking me to make sure that I was wearing my underwear today, which I'm not, but I've got a liner, so that counts for – well, I'm glad that you are.
Wouldn't go without it.
Well, then you're at home. So whether you're going commando, that's completely up to you either way. But you just came back from church, so I don't think going commando would be the appropriate thing to do.
No.
Mm. So speaking of, what was I getting ready to say earlier? I totally, you know what? I hate when I don't write things down. But that's okay. What was I going to say earlier before I said, hey, we should coffee. You see, so you're actually getting to see me.
Yep. That is one giant mug.
This is not my largest either, not by far. So I was just thinking about some of the topics today, and one of the things that we talked about. So you were telling me that the sermon today, he was talking about the shooting in El Paso, Texas, and. What are your overall thoughts on this? I'm really, really curious, because I, you know, I'm from El Paso. And so it's near and dear to me. And I had a lot of friends that were, you know, marking themselves as safe on Facebook. And, you know, and then I was sending text messages from people that, you know, I hadn't heard from or hadn't talked to in a while to make sure that they were safe. And so far, so good. But I was just interested, you know, from your point of view, what's your take on it?
It distresses me greatly. I mean, two mass shootings in the space of 18 hours, and so much of it seems to be fueled by hate. That is distressing. I just cannot understand why anyone would want to do that. It's just beyond my comprehension.
And I look at this from another standpoint too. You know, being in the military, you know, it's like everybody will associate the military as, you know, military. Oh, well, you're in the Army, you're in the Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whatever. You know, oh, you like your weapons, you like your guns, and you know, that we're avid supporters. And some of us, you know, are avid supporters of, you know, the right to bear arms. But there are those, believe it or not, that are in the military service that aren't, you know, that have their own opinion of assault weapons or what's deemed as assault weapons. And it always seems that the go-to for any situation like this is that, oh, this is another reason to ban assault weapons. This is another reason to get rid of those weapons. And, you know, it's always that adage of, well, it's not the weapon that kills people. It's the individual that is in control of that weapon. And I think a lot of people, I don't, and to be clear, I mean, I'm not advocating for, you know, the right to bear arms here. I mean, this is my opinion. This is your opinion, and this is America, and we're free to express, you know, what we're thinking. I just look at it from the standpoint of that's the first thing that people are going to go to because of this tragedy, you know, and the other pieces, if you look at the pictures, the guy came prepared. The guy had glasses on. He had eye protection. He had hearing protection, and he knew what the hell was doing. And he posted a manifesto, allegedly, you know, so this was in his mind. I don't know, you know, what that catalyst was, but it's a little scary overall. And I'm not sure. I'm upset about it. And I know that they're talking about releasing, the names of the individuals who were killed and the individuals who were injured. You know, and there's a high probability that I know some of those people. So it's going to be interesting, but, I guess, so let's go on. Let's see. What is your view on weapons in general from your standpoint?
I have never handled a firearm in my life. my brother enjoys hunting. My father served in the Army, and I think you have to learn how to shoot a rifle in the Army, but never grew up around guns. There is a right to bear arms. I don't know why people stockpile them. You know, one handgun, one rifle. I don't know why you need a arsenal, but never handled one in my life.
Well, you get those people that are like, you know, they're dubbed the doomsday preppers, like they're preparing for the end of the world, you know, and it's like, and I mean, I have quite a few, and a majority of them I've built myself, but for me, it's more of a hobby than trying to collect an arsenal. Different weapons provide different levels of shooting, different types of shooting for me. And so that's the reason why I have them. Matter of fact, I have two upstairs that I haven't built yet, because I just haven't had the time, you know. But you know, I look at it that it's a tough call, and I see it from both lenses. I could understand a person's point of view if they're against them. I could see why, but I think a lot of it is misinformation, and it's, you know, like you said, I think you have to understand a firearm, and like you said, understanding what firearms are, what the safeties are, train yourself with them in order to have an understanding. And you still may not like them. You could be trained up six ways from Sunday and still not like them. And there's people in the Army that just prefer really not to shoot. You know, it's an annual requirement. They've got to go out there. They've got to practice. They've got to qualify. And they do that, but it doesn't go beyond that, right? So for me, it's like, yeah, I have to go out. I have to shoot. I have to qualify. And then maybe every once in a while, you know, I might take my own personal weapons out and go do the same thing just for the heck of it. But clearly, I like my freedom. I like to drink my coffee, go out on the back deck, smoke a cigar, and see these things out there, right? And just enjoy the fresh air, you know, and not see it from behind bars. So I don't think that if I got fired or if I had an issue with Walmart that and that's the other thing I don't know yet. I haven't read any of the new news stories. I'm trying to wait for everything to paddle out. I know he posted a manifesto allegedly, or I heard allegedly. I don't know if you saw anything on that.
There's a bit in the newspaper, and he's very, very concerned about a Hispanic takeover of Texas. Well, you grew up in El Paso. I grew up in San Antonio. I don't know what his issue is. I can't understand it.
I've been
a minority for ages here in San Antonio, and it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I really, you know, I really don't have a problem with it. I don't understand that at all. And for me, I look at it as, yeah, I grew up in El Paso. I was the minority. You know, white people are the minority in El Paso. Mm-hmm. White people are the minority in San Antonio. But I've never had an issue with race at all. And a majority of my friends were all Hispanic, you know, and even in the army, you know, most of my friends are Hispanic or Black. So I've got a few white friends out there, and I'm not trying to do a whole comparison or try to count how many of one over the other. It's just, you know, promoting diversity. But I will say, and it's not defending him, this just to kind of gear off that topic, because it is a little bit sad and it could be a little bit controversial. But I will say, when NAFTA was enacted, and I can't remember what year that was, we saw a lot of people coming over the Mexico, El Paso, Mexico border and coming in to shop, you know, in El Paso. And I will tell you that over the period of the years, having grown up there and going back to visit while I was on vacation, I noticed a big paradigm shift in the quality of the stores. You know, even going to Kmart was going to Kmart. Kmart was a nice store back then growing up. Walmart was a nice store growing up. But it just seemed as though that the Mexicans coming over the border to shop. Hell, there's even some of my friends who are Mexican that live in El Paso can't stand the Mexicans that come in to shop in El Paso because they're fucking rude. Absolutely rude. They don't take care of, they don't watch their children. Their children are running around like Tasmanian devils in the aisles. Have no respect whatsoever. So I would understand it from that part. Certainly that's not a reason for me to load my rifles and go in and shoot people. You know, that to me, that is absolutely asinine overall. But yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand the logic and reasoning on that whatsoever. None at all. None at all. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you what, let's change topics.
Yes.
Let's talk about, you know, this is something I've always wondered, because when I was in elementary school, again in El Paso, when I was in an elementary school, I believe her name was Miss Wheeler, and she was our librarian at the elementary level. And she was very stiff. She was very rigid. She was very religious. You could not joke with her. I think she rarely, if ever, laughed that I recall. You know, she was a stickler on books being late. I mean, if we had Microsoft Outlook, if we had email ability back then, you would get an email every minute of the day until you turned in that book. That's just, to me, that's how she was. Other people might remember differently. I just have a different view. But on your level, being a librarian at a university, and based off some of the email traffic that you've sent me and that I've read on this show, what is the day in the life of a librarian at a university, especially the one, and I'll be honest with you, I had never heard of your university. I don't know if it's okay to mention it on the show. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So Leslie is a librarian at the University of Incarnate Word, which I did not understand Let me rephrase that. I wasn't very aware of a lot of universities, and UIW is a premier university in Texas. I had no idea. And the cost associated with tuition is astronomical from what I heard. So very good school. So to put that, so basically laying the foundation and putting that in perspective, what's daily life like in your experiences with dealing with people who don't shower, as you mentioned before, brushing their teeth, Mr. I Got Lucky. What is life like for Miss Leslie at UIW Library?
Going to be very hectic starting August 26th when classes start, and 18 is very young. And I mostly work with freshmen and sophomores.
Ooh.
In the class that I teach for credit, they'll all be freshmen. Got to get them broken in. And it's wild. It's a lot of fun, but they need a lot of help. Most of them haven't used a library. Most of them don't understand why they need to use a library. And some of them have hygiene issues. We have more. Oh, God, brush your teeth. And the girls, if you're going to wear your hair long, at least brush it in the morning, for God's sake. Wash your clothes. I mean, we have some who have real severe hygiene issues.
So are they just getting up out of bed and going straight to the library to, you know?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Wake up earlier, brush your teeth, wash your face, take a shower, do something, please.
Unreal.
Yeah.
So when you're teaching for credit, so you say you teach for credit. So what are you actually teaching? I mean, are these students that are just trying to get, are these students that need the credit to graduate? Are these just prep? Are you preparing them for their senior level classes or upper level courses?
It's a class paired with a nursing seminar, and it's for freshmen who need a little bit extra boost. You know, they didn't score as well as they might have in math and their language skills. I've had some really bright kids in who obviously just don't test well.
Wow.
So, yeah, we learn about sources and how to find information, how to evaluate it. And I'm a really easy teacher. I give them, you know, opportunities for extra credit. It broke my heart when I had to fail my first student.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Because he came, you know, Miss Todd, I know I've lost, you know, I haven't been in class and I know I missed some exams. Can I make it up? And I had to say, no, it's not fair to those who've been here.
Yeah. And, no. Yeah.
I like to think of myself as a nice person. I'm not management material. Leslie doesn't want to have those kind of conversations. You're doing a crap job and I'm going to have to fire you. No, I don't want that kind of responsibility.
Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, I know, you know, in previous episodes, you know, and you've come back with a lot of insight, you know, especially with the younger generation coming in, you know, hold on. I got my dogs that are like irritating themselves, you know, irritating each other down here. So I look at it from a perspective. How is it? So how long? So let me ask you this. How long have you been teaching there? And do you have a really good benchmark for what students were like, say, in the 80s before the internet and in comparison to the millennials now who have all this digital access, all this content, you know, these not what I deem as non-viable sources of information for the most part, you know, online. How has that dynamic changed? Hey, cut it out. Cut it out. Sorry about that.
Is that a little dog?
Yeah, I got two. My two little ones, and the eldest one is pissed at the youngest one. Hey!
Oh wow!
Yeah, stop! Get out! Go on! Get Chaos! Come here! Hold on! Yeah, okay. So the dogs are gonna be part of the show today. This is my oldest.
Oh, darling!
Yeah, she's the oldest, and she's the one that's not very. Yeah, get down. Okay. Yeah, I know you want to. Hey! Stop! Excuse me a second. I'm going to pause. Let me pause this real quick. And we're back. Okay. So we had a little bit of pause there, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I just didn't want the dogs to be really that much part of the show. So the eldest one, she's back under my desk right now. I had to kick the other one out and shut the door. He's just very adamant and stubborn. The reason why I named him Solo is because he's a pain in the ass. He's, you know... Yes, he's like his namesake Han Solo from the movie. So he's, yeah, complete pain in the butt. But yeah, I've had a cat before. His name was Tigger. And he was really, really awesome. I mean, best cat that I ever had. And when he passed, I never replaced him. I couldn't find it in my heart to get another cat. You know, there will never be another one like him. And I figured that I would. I've met some cats that were close. But I just felt as though that it would be disrespectful to replace him. And even though I'm a dog lover and, you know, I've had a few, my Russells pass away within the past couple of years. I've always just kind of been, well, you know, hey, I'll get another dog to kind of keep one in the rotation. I hate to say it that way, but when you have older dogs, they could teach the puppies. They learn, they watch. Hey, you're going outside to go to the bathroom. Oh, that's what I need to do too. It just makes it easier to housebreak them in my opinion. I don't know if there's any real science to that, but I just go that route. And the other piece was, and if you've seen pictures on Facebook and Instagram, Boba, who is my pit bull, he tries to play with Chaos, the one I just showed you, and she doesn't tolerate him either. She's just cranky. She's 14 years old. She doesn't want to play with him. So I figured I needed to get another dog that will play with him. Well, he likes playing with him when he feels like playing. When he doesn't feel like playing, Boba will lay down and be like, leave me alone. And Solo's like, yeah, no, that's not happening. I want to play. So he goes into bitchy mode like Chaos does and kind of growls and snaps at him too. So I have to physically separate them both at times. So it's just like having kids. It's no different, to be honest with you. I mean, other that they don't talk back. Well, Solo, you heard him barking at me. He was talking back up a storm. If I could understand what he was saying, that would be interesting too, right?
But you don't have to send them to college.
Thank God. Now, I could send them to obedience school, but that would be nowhere near the same. But no, I'm good with them. They're fine. I know we were a little off topic there, and I totally forgot what we were talking about. What was it? Oh, your library experience. Okay. Yeah. So...
I hit 15 years at UIW last month. Before that, I was in the corporate environment, so I can't speak to students before 2004. I think they're less and less prepared for college. Last year's crop of freshmen did not need as much hand-holding. They were more engaged in the educational experience.
Right.
Which was great because, Lord God, I get tired of holding hands and, you know, help me. Like, I got my degrees years ago. Leave me alone.
So,
because sometimes they get annoying. But last year it was different. They were more engaged. They wanted to do more workshops, you know, the students in my class. And, it was much better quality work, too, except for the girl who plagiarized.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so easy to catch. It's like, sweetheart, I've been doing this a while. You can't pull. And I know how to write.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And I don't know. So the ones that are. Do you see a difference between the engagement level between your full time students and do you have part time students as well? Or is every student that you're dealing with all full time, you know, full semester hours, 12 to 15 or so, you know, going through and just totally focusing on getting their degree?
They're mostly full time students. 12 hours is considered a full load now. 15 hours was a full load when I was a student. And they do like their technology. I didn't have time to watch television when I was in school. I concentrated on my studies and I had to work. Man, these kids have a lot of time to play games, binge on Netflix, and maybe that's why their grades aren't too good and why we have some that are on the 10-year plan.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, I can't talk. I mean, well, you know, I can't say I use the military as an excuse, but I know – when I was getting ready to graduate from high school, I know that at that point in time, I was not prepared to go to college. I was on the level in my mind that I would fail out my first semester. I just wasn't ready. You know, and you make the comment that, you know, the students that are coming in don't seem to be prepared for college. And that seemed to be going back in the 80s. Talking to some of my friends who went on to some major universities and got scholarships, that they even alluded to that high school didn't prepare them for college back then. I think we had one teacher. She was a really great English teacher, Miss Chris Towers. She was the only one that did. The way she set up her class was like a format, right? It was the format of you walk in, you read what's on the board. There's your assignments. You got a lecture. And the expectation was that, hey, I'm giving you credit for having a brain. You know, I give you my synopsis, you know, and here's everything that's going to happen for the semester. You need to write this stuff down because I'm not going to doily it out to you. And she, her class was the only class that really realistically prepared you for college, basically working in that environment. She was a no slack individual. And so I failed her class.
You did.
No surprise there. I failed her class only because, there was a couple of assignments that I could not complete and it lowered my score. And she did not give me the curve. I failed by 1 point.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, to prove a point, you know, she made me, I had to take her class again. So I had her in the morning and in the afternoon in high school. Now, the only advantage I had was whatever she gave me for the morning class, I could get finished and turn it in for the afternoon portion, but it would count double. I didn't have to do two separate exercises or two separate assignments, because, you know, one isn't going to be any different than the other anyway. But yeah, it was brutal. It was a lot of writing. That my senior year, I did more writing my senior year than I did my freshman through junior year combined. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. And I think, like you said, I wasn't ready. And then, coming into the military in the beginning, you know, and I don't know if I don't, you said your dad served and that was a different time back then. Now, you know, Army's been around for almost 250 years. There was never really a mandate for enlisted personnel to be educated. And that whole dynamic has changed within the past 20, 30 years. You know, you've got kids coming in today that already have a master's degree. Hell, I have two kids, and I call them kids, you know, my soldiers. I have two soldiers that, are in the organization that have their PhDs.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here going, why did you come in as enlisted? You know, but yeah, they had long closed out their masters and they just went for it and they have their PhDs, right? So, and I'm not talking PhDs and anything, you know, very, what can be construed as, oh, that was an easy PhD. No, I don't think any PhD is easy, regardless of what discipline, you know, because there's a lot of effort that goes into it. But it was just amazing to see that. And I was a late starter. I just knew that I was not mature enough to handle it. And decided, yeah, I'll wait for a few years and 2 years turned into four turned into eight. And then I finally got off my ass and went. And it took me quite a few years to finish only because, you know, we still have our day job. And, you know, after 9/11, you still had another job you had to deploy, and connectivity and trying to do college while you're deployed sometimes it's not impossible. It's, you can do it. But you just can't knock out the amount of hours you would expect to knock out. You know, deployments are busy, and you're lucky if you could knock out one credit hour per semester. So, yeah, it gets tough. It gets tough. But overall, yeah. But I don't know. I have a mad respect, you know, with the conversations that we've had back and forth on Facebook about the things that you're having to deal with and whatever. But tell me about your meetings, these illustrious meetings that could have been solved with an email. Today's show is about the day in the life of a librarian, folks. If you haven't figured this one out already.
If we could just follow the agenda, that would be fine. But then there's, let's go around the table. And that just pisses me off because Daryl will open his mouth. He's a nice guy, but I just wanted to put a cork in it.
Who's Daryl?
he's our librarian at the School of Medicine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he loves the sound of his voice.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think there's one in every unit, in every organization, every business. There's always that one guy that needs to be heard, regardless.
Yep.
Needs to be heard. So yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. All right.
We've got one this Tuesday.
Oh really? How often do you have meetings? Do you have them every day, a couple of days a week?
Every 3 weeks.
Ouch. Every 3 weeks. That's not bad. That's not bad. Well, I wish I could have one every 3 weeks.
Well, I'm not serving on any committees, thank God. You serve on a committee, there are a lot more meetings. job search committees are the worst. I mean, you're having to do your work. You're having to meet to review candidates, telephone interviews, on-campus interviews. I hate being on job search committees.
I think, you know, and this is funny because I listen to what you're saying and it resonates with me because at this level in my career, those are some of the same things that we're having to deal with, right? We have civilians who are government employees that leave or get promoted into other jobs. And so you're having to go through and you're having to look at, you know, their performance or work statement. You're having to look at what their PD is, their duties. And then you're having to do the interviews. You're having to scoring criteria and all that. Oh. And yeah, so I'm like, wow, you know, I thought we had it bad. Everybody's got it. Yeah, everybody goes through the same thing. I mean, I'm not ignorant to the fact, but it just seems like, wow, the Army is not any different other than I don't have to worry about what I wear the next day.
But someday you're going to get out.
Oh, yeah, I know. And that's the big scary thing for me. It really, really is because I've been in a structured environment. And to be clear, this wasn't my original intention. I was going to come in 4 years and get out. And 4 years turned into eight turned into 10, 10 turned into 19, 20. And then here I am almost at the 30-year mark. Can't go beyond that because the Army's changed their rules on how far, you know, enlisted at my level can go. It used to be, and it's not really that much further. It used to be 32 years now. And, the Sergeant Major of the Army, who is the top Sergeant Major of the Army, basically said, nope. You guys have been around too long. We need to get some fresh blood in. So I'm going to dial you down, you know, dial you back a couple of years. And I get it. I understand what he's doing and I don't not support it. But there are those of us that still have a lot of time, you know, that we feel that we could serve more. And there are some of us that can, but you have to get, selected for certain nominative positions, to work with like 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star level generals. And that allows you to surpass that 30-year mark. But the key thing is you have to keep, you can move laterally once, but then you got to move up the next time. And then you can move laterally again and you keep going up until you can't go anymore. And if you don't move laterally or you don't move up, then the famous words are always be prepared to retire and you'll have about 6 months. So yeah. So those are some of the things that, you know, I'm like, yeah, always be prepared to retire. I'm ready to retire. I know I've voiced that, but at the same time, like if an opportunity came up, that would have to take some careful consideration. I think, you know, Army's always dangled the trap. I'm stupid. You know, hey. Dangle the carrot. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, so I was looking through your email and you mentioned you're like, hey, so Amazon has taken a dislike to you too. Prime delivery, more like a myth lately. I could deal with books being late, but I want my coffee delivered promptly. I went ahead and ordered early last week while I still had a bag of pods. But I will have to pass on ordering on anal beads. I had never heard of such things until you mentioned them. Okay. So I don't know what possessed me to even pop off at the mouth and talk about the anal bead thing, but I sat there and I went on Amazon while I was on the show and sure as shit, it's spelled, I think, in like French. And mm-hmm. it was like anal. I'm serious. Seriously? Anal beads? And I mean, while I'm thinking about it, hold on a second. So you know, I'm surprised they don't have like a, oh. I'm just doing. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. You can buy dildos on Amazon. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Never thought that you could do that. I never, out of all this time, I never, wow. Holy shit. They really have, oh God, I guess they got something really for everybody. Oh my God. Oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. So, so ladies and gentlemen, you can't see this. I don't know if you can, Leslie, on that, but that is a rubberized woman, part of a woman, the lower torso, in the bent over position, the doggy style position. And I guess you could put that on the bed, on the edge of the bed and pretend that you're, that is, and it's only $169 on Amazon Prime, and you could either get it in flesh color or black. And holy crap. Yeah. So let me see if I can maximize this one. Okay. Yeah. Then you can see that one. Wow. That is crazy. Wow. And you could get it. If I order now, I could get it by tomorrow.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, but yeah. So your experience with Amazon, I can't even say it's a hit or miss, but lately they've been really bad about some of the packaging. One of the things that I didn't bitch about that I probably should have was I ordered three items that evidently came from the same warehouse. So it was like a case of a core drink. It was one and two other items, and they packed them all in the same box. And it turned out that the case that I had ordered damaged this little wooden thing that I bought. It totally broke it in pieces. And so I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, who packs things like this, right? And then, of course, I don't know if you can see it here. Let me kind of shift my laptop here. But this microphone, I had to get a new microphone stand and a new cable and everything. And I'm actually liking this one better. But it took like a week and a half for the cable to get here. So it was really impeding on my whole process to record a show altogether. And it was driving me nuts. And they're like, hey, when I first ordered it, it was supposed to be delivered like within 2 days. And it didn't happen. And then when I got it, the box was crushed. I thought that the metal end on the cable was probably damaged, and it wasn't. But it wasn't even packaged. It was just basically there inside the box. Somebody tossed it in, wrapped it with some Velcro tape, and then that was it. And I was really upset about that because, hey, my expectation is if I'm paying for Prime, if I'm paying for a service, then I'm expecting Prime service, you know, a little bit more, paying a little bit extra. So what is your experience with Amazon?
Next day delivery, no more. 2 day delivery, rare. And we've had a problem with thefts where I live. Sometimes the delivery person has a key to our lobbies. Sometimes they don't, but if they get left at my back gate, they can go.
Oh.
I've had two disappear this year.
Did you get one of those iRing cameras that you can put, you know, on the back gate or something like that are wireless? Have you thought about doing that?
Well, yes, but that has man job written all over it, and I ain't no man.
I have been really thinking about it, especially for security purposes. I haven't had that problem yet. My problem is just getting deliveries on time. That's the biggest thing overall. So it just really annoys me to hell. And most recently, some of the orders that I've had have come in a relatively decent amount of time or on time. So I haven't had any complaints. I guess it just depends on which warehouse it ships from. And here in the DC area, Amazon's moving in. So I guess more jobs, great, and everything. So everything, you know, things that they have in their warehouse, provided that they have what I'm ordering, gets here even within less amount of time. So, but no, I think no more than a day. So, okay, let's see. Okay, we'll not talk about the anal beans. I need to make this a video show because just to see that. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you look up sex toys on Amazon, you will see some pretty weird shit, you know, and probably some things that you could probably go to sex store online, but that just blows my mind. There's even one that looks like it's made out, has candy in it. I don't know. So let's go down your email. I hadn't heard the term dingleberries in ages, probably since my father died. I always thought he made up that word. Guess not. I'm sure women can get them too if they are not scrupulous about hygiene. The smell of ass, so not sexy, and with little greasy wads of paper. Okay. So yes, let me tell you how I turned into a little prima donna when it comes to wiping your ass. So when you're deployed, and in the areas that we've been deployed lately, it's during the summertime, it's 125 degrees in the shade, and you're working with third country nationals who don't use deodorant, And when they go take a dump, they use their hand. If they don't have paper, these guys are hardcore. They will drop trowel, squat, take a dump, use their hand, maybe dip it in sand and try to do some sandpaper action. And so I'm going to throw myself under the bus. I watched a guy on the perimeter take a dump right by the fence line. He was in an orange jumpsuit, and orange is not a jumpsuit that's associated with criminals in Southwest Asia. A lot of them just wear jumpsuits at work, right? And so this guy just drops trowel. He's completely butt naked under this jumpsuit, no underwear, nothing. He drops trowel and takes the biggest shit humanly possible out of this guy that is like completely rail thin. I mean, he couldn't have been 135 pounds wet, but he took a dump like he was a fucking elephant. And I'm like, holy cow. And he didn't even wipe his ass. He just freaking squatted, dumped, stood up, threw it, zipped himself up and walked off.
Oh God.
And I'm sitting here going, holy cow, that's hardcore. Right. But for me, when you're again, depending on the environment, and as a private, I would go to the field for 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes a month, and there were showers available, but we were just really weren't focused on showers. And you know when you smell like ass when somebody walks in, and you could tell exactly what soap they used when they walk in through the tent or they walk into the building. That's when you know you smell bad. But I just remember and I don't get embarrassed about a lot, but I would be absolutely mortified if I had any sort of odoriferous emanations, especially at my level when you're walking in and meeting people, you know, that, oh my God, my ass isn't clean and I could smell myself. No, and so baby wipes are like gold in deployments. So I make sure that I always have them. I have them in my pack. I have them at my office. You know, I have them in every bathroom. I do not leave the bathroom unless I know I'm clean. That's the bottom line. The only disadvantage I have is that I have to have biodegradable, you know, wipes that will break down on contact with water.
Where do you get those?
So you could, Cottonelle makes them. You could get them at Walmart. You can get them at any store. They even make little custom dispensers, plastic dispensers for decorative purposes. I don't bother with that shit. So I turn around and, you know, I got one pack one day and I dropped trowel, freaking did my business. And, you know, I'm not an overly hairy guy. I have enough. I won't even consider waxing or shaving my butt. I can't do it. Well, you know, some guys do, especially the porn stars. You know, they're all baby smooth clean for a reason. Of course, some of them probably aren't. But some of the wipes, you know, they're going bad if they start bunching up or rolling up and sticking to your ass hair. I'm just sitting here going, oh my God. And the worst thing about it is, you know, it's an uncomfortable feeling to know that you've got bits of paper stuck to your ass hair like dreadlocks. You don't want that. So I sat there and said, hey, you know, no. So you got to pull them out. And that's not very comfortable either. Right. So, yeah. And I'm telling, you know, I know this is TMI, but I don't mind sharing. I don't get embarrassed about shit. So, yeah, it's one of those things. So yeah, dingleberries, you know, and that's where you kind of get the term. And of course, if those pieces of paper are in the initial stages of the first wipe, think about that you have not only the paper, but the fecal matter wrapped up in that. That's the term dingleberries. So yes, it's not a made up word and it still applies today. Of course, some people probably have a different name for it, but, yeah, I don't know. On appearances, I have real problems. You go on to say, on appearances, I have real problems keeping my office squared away and tidy. My desk collects papers, articles, and post-it notes. My home is on another matter entirely, which I've seen some of your photos that you've posted on Facebook. My condolences for your loss of your cat, by the way. My goodness.
Thank you.
I always love seeing the picture because it makes me miss Tigger. It really, really does. So, and being that I didn't get another cat or don't have another cat, I live vicariously through you. So he was, I enjoyed the photos. I really, really did.
He had personality. My best buddy. Never had one like him. Can't imagine I'll have another one like him.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I miss him because, you know, he'd be on the back of this chair when I'd come in if I was on time.
Right.
And he'd be ready to greet me if I was late. He was on the patio. You bitch. You're late. And if I was having dinner with a friend that got home really late, you are a damn fucking bitch.
Wow.
I've been alone all day.
So my cat, Tigger was a little vindictive. And if I did anything to piss him off or really stress him out, he would make it known by leaving presents in certain parts of the house. One time he went as far as to jump in the bed, curl up on my pillow near my head, and commence to peeing in my pillow. You know, thank God I have the covers, the waterproof covers. Specifically, not just for that reason, but, you know, I was like, thank God, because pillows can get expensive. And I was just like, my God, I must have really pissed him off, but no pun. But yeah, so he would do things like that. Did he ever do anything like that to you if you were really late?
No, Philip would grumble, but no, he never peed on anything. I've always heard stories of cats, you know, leaving little piles of shit for people.
Oh yeah, I've stepped on quite a few.
No, the only he didn't mean to leave them. You know, hairballs. That's worse than, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or poop.
Yeah, I've had a few of those, and I tried to do everything to mitigate that. I had one of those little gloves, the hand gloves where you could go on their fur, just that if they're licking their fur, and he was a tabby, so he's a long-haired tabby, so he would always cough up a lot of hairballs. And then there's this stuff that you can get that's supposed to ease that, and it tastes like peanut butter. It comes in like a toothpaste tube. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So used to do that too, and I paid the price for it, because even though I was brushing him as best as I could and as regularly as I could, it really made it easier for come out where the number would just be more than what I was accustomed to. Onesies, twosies here and there, maybe every couple of weeks, turned into like three or four a week. So yeah, just absolutely unbelievable. But I was looking at really not. I need to probably get some decorative tips from you, because I haven't really, aside from my studio, which, you know, is a different personality than the rest of the house, I haven't really done anything to decorate the rest of the home, simply because I haven't stayed in one place long enough. I've moved every year for the past 5 years, so I'm very leery about even trying to put anything on the walls, because I don't want to have to take it down if I'm going to move again. You know, and when I retire, I have no idea where I'm going to stay, whether I'm going to stay here or move again. So it's just one of those things. But yes, your house, the photos that you have, even though they're primarily of Philip, but I can see where you have everything organized and everything just right. So what makes work different for you that you can't stay organized at work, but you can stay organized at home?
Oh,
I just pigeonholed you, didn't I?
Papers accumulate. You're like, oh, I'll look at this later. And I try to go through them on a regular basis. But yes, I have a pile of papers that I'm working on, and I could put them away in folders and have it, you know, pristine. But, you know, I'm going to get them out the next day. So
why bother?
And I don't live there.
Yeah. Why bother?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and if it was too tidy, I'd wonder if I was getting any work done.
Well, so I will tell you, this is good balance, right? I will tell you that I've worked in some offices where my supervisors were sticklers about when you left your desk, everything had to be put away.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. You could not leave it disorganized. You certainly couldn't leave any paperwork out with personal information on it. You always had to lock up. And that's standard. I think that's standard for everybody. But it was just so annoying, because I felt as though that I had my piles arranged where I knew where the information was. Yes. And if I came in and fell in on it the next day, it's right there and I know exactly where it's at. Straightening it up, putting everything together, making all the nice piles of paper, all dress right dress and everything, come back the next day. Now I got to flip through all the pages and figure out what's what, refresh my memory, where if I have my mess in chronological order, if you will, I know exactly where everything is at. But I'll even go one better. My supervisor would go through our trash cans. If you had any plastic items in your trash can that was supposed to go in the recyclables, he would pull it out and set it on your desk.
Asshole.
I'm like, really? You have nothing else better to do with your pathetic existence in life than to go through my trash can. And now, yes, should I recycle? Absolutely. But there are those times where, you know, I finish a bottle and I'm not even thinking about it consciously and I toss it in the trash can. But he makes it a point to go through and pull that stuff out. And I'm talking anything that could go into the recyclable will go on your desk. So if you have a plastic wrapper, if you have a Ziploc bag, if you have a plastic bottle, if you have a tin can, if you have an aluminum can, if there's anything that could be washed out and recycled, he will put it back on you. He will put it on your desk. And I'm like, yeah. That was like unbelievable.
He must not have a life.
I will say, I don't know if you've experienced it, you know, in a corporate before becoming a librarian, but some of these guys, I have no idea. They've got some wires crossed somewhere, you know, and I would really hate to see how they live, you know, in their homes. Cause I imagine if they're that anal at work, imagine how they could be in their home, you know, cause my grandparents. Okay. So yeah, I'm getting really, really out there. My grandparents were not typical grandparents. And I know this is a weird transition, but I think this segues nicely. My grandparents were not fun grandparents. My grandparents would be the type that you will never make any money doing that. So, if I was playing a game, oh, you'll never make any money doing that. If I'm outside playing or doing something that they didn't like, oh, you'll never make any money doing that. Visiting their house on the weekend was like going to a museum. You couldn't touch shit.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. And the TV was never to come on, unless it was to watch the news, Johnny Carson or Lawrence Welk on Sundays.
Oh God, Lord. My grandmother loved Lawrence Welk.
And so these are the things that myself and my younger brother were exposed to when we'd stay at our grandparents' house. And it was just terrible. You know, they were not fun grandparents. And if they were, it was a facade. You know, it's your birthday. Let's go to Farrell's or let's go to Baskin Robbins or whatever. And that was their idea of doing something fun, you know. The other piece was, and my grandparents were a strange couple. Hey, go outside and play. Okay. We go out in the backyard and play. You need to come into the house to go to the bathroom. You had to knock on the door because they'd lock the door. They didn't want you coming in and out. So they would mitigate that process by locking the door and not allowing you to come in. I was like, you got to be kidding. You have absolutely got to be kidding. You know, and then lunch, you ate. And after you ate, that was it. You couldn't eat any more. They gave you what they felt should be your fill, and that was it. You know, if I was home, my mom would make this huge spread, and you ate until you busted. Now, my grandparents were like that. So, yeah, those things are just really crazy. But they were very well organized. My grandfather was a very well-dressed man. My grandmother, very well-dressed woman. You know, he had a very particular way he wanted his Ford LTD washed. And it was in stages, and I had to learn those stages because he wouldn't wash it himself, you know, just very anal. And my understanding, I was given to understand that even at work, he used to work for Prudential way back in the day. He was just as anal working there as he was keeping the house clean, keeping the house in order. You just, again, you couldn't touch shit. It was like walking into a museum. You couldn't touch anything. Oh yeah. Terrible, 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 terrible. I had a dysfunctional childhood growing up. What can I say? So I'm not going to talk about the retirement piece, you know, but I like your comment about bra free and leisure filled days.
Hey,
you got
a torture device.
You gotta let the girls hang out. I completely understand.
They will be later today. I kept my bra on for this.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to see anything. We're doing this audio. So, I mean, you would have been fine to do whatever it is that you wanted to do. Absolutely. No problem. You talk about people abandoning dogs and cats are so wrong. And I think that it is. I've being in the Army again, I've seen some things that were really highly questionable and make me question the existence of man as a whole. I was talking about firing ranges earlier and qualifying with weapons. Part of the whole process is we go out there and we ensure that there's nobody out on the range, you know, that everything's clear, everything's safe, so nobody gets hurt. Because some of the ranges, you know, the woods are in the back area and people could be hiking through and whatever. But there was one time we went out there and somebody had tied their dog out in the back area of the range and just let and abandoned them there. So, you know, people are cruel. People are cruel. I can't figure out, you know, and I really don't want to know, or maybe I would and somebody could fix it, but I can't figure out what in a person's mind thinks that that is the right thing to do, to basically hog tie a pet outside and abandon them for somebody else to find, you know, versus, hey, take them to a shelter, take them to a clinic, you know, where at least that dog will get, or that cat or whatever animal it is going to get some help, you know, and possibly find another home. I had a neighbor, who abandoned their pit bull in their townhome and had no idea that they even up and left, hadn't seen them for a couple of days, figured maybe they went on vacation. The next thing you know, the police and emergency crews were called to the house for whatever reason. We thought, oh shit, they're dead. No, it turned out that their pit bull was chewing through the wall and was chewing into the neighbor's adjacent townhome, because they left him there without food and water. So he was trying to get out of the house, you know, just absolute cruelty. You know, I just don't understand people sometimes. And, Solo was really lucky. He was abandoned next to a grocery store, Safeway here. I think it was a Safeway here in DC. And, one of my soldiers actually saved him, picked him up and took him home, but couldn't keep him and was trying to find a home for him. His niece was supposed to take him, but that didn't pan through. So it wound up that, you know, I went ahead and took him because Boba needed somebody. And I will tell you, Solo is a pain in the butt. He's stubborn, but he's a smart dog. He's absolutely smart. Got his DNA results back, and he's 50% purebred, 50% mutt. I don't see where that 50% purebred is in, because his father comes from what they call an American pit bull or American pity. And when you look up American pity on the internet, you're like, that doesn't look anything like my dog. And the rest of them is Chow, Beagle, German Shepherd, and Rottweiler. You know, so he's a Heinz 57. But he's such a smart dog. He's so awesome. Pain in the butt. You heard him earlier. He talks back. So, yeah, but I'm really glad to have him. Absolutely glad to have him. He's a really, really great dog. And it's just sad that people will do that to animals. I just don't get it. I really don't get what crosses people's wires sometimes. I just don't. Absolutely don't. So, but, I'll tell you what, I think this is a good point to end our conversation. Okay. There will still be more of the show here. I don't want to hold you up, but I really thank you for coming up on the show. I know we had talked about doing this before, and I think I did more of the talking. I apologize. I get very chatty when I'm on when I have caffeine, you know, so I apologize at that, but I mean, the input, but let me ask you something. So before you and I close out on this piece here, going back to your being a librarian and dealing with students, talking to students, what is the most, I don't know, weirdest thing that a student has ever done in the library that just made you question the future of man and womankind? You know, have you had any experience where you just sat there and went, what was your what the fuck moment, if anything?
My office is on the first floor. Paul comes down from the second floor. He's had to call campus police because a girl complained to him. young man drops his pants and he decides it's time to masturbate in the library. But Paul, you're lying. Like, no.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like there's a men's room not that far away. But yes, the masturbating student would, you know, I think he probably takes the cake.
Did you ever get any reasoning why he decided at that point in time he needed to relieve himself? I mean, I've always heard that some people masturbate prior to like an exam or giving a speech because it relaxes them, it centers them. I mean, was there even any rhyme or reason, or was just it's an unknown?
Unknown. He was in the quiet area and quiet study area and whipped it out and started going to town.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yep.
The day in the life of Leslie.
at least I didn't have.
Oh yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, yeah. But have you, so that was one point. Have you physically seen anything or had one that you were directly involved in? Now I'm curious.
I did spend a year and a half at the public library before I went corporate, and lots of perversity in a public library. The secret touchers, you weren't quite sure if you'd been felt up or not. They were that. Yeah, raise that eyebrow.
The secret touchers? What?
You were never sure if they'd felt you up or not, or if they had just brushed against you. Lots of men who like to expose themselves. And since it was in downtown San Antonio, you'll be careful going into a bathroom because they might be cleaning up.
Oh,
male
wow.
and female. Drunkenness, drug abuse. You know, we would have those types.
In a library, really?
Oh yeah, they're not safe places. People who let their children go alone. There was a guy famous through all the libraries in San Antonio who liked to go and whip it out and expose himself. And, by the time police got to the public library, he was gone. But the story goes that he tried it at Fort Sam and he didn't get off post.
Oh, my goodness. The library flasher. Wow. That's crazy. Yep. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yep. God, no, I can't even imagine that. And, I was just watching a show on Netflix called Dope, D-O-P-E, and it basically talks about people with drug addiction and the trafficking that goes on and the hundreds of thousands to millions and billions of dollars that are made by the cartels, and all these families and these people are involved and how they get hooked on like heroin. And, now the drug of choice is cocaine and heroin with fentanyl mixed into it, which is a deadly drug and everything. And it just amazed me. But I'd never heard of anything like that where in a public library, because I guess people have this view that a public library, while it's public, that you wouldn't have those strange oddities coming in, that the people who were utilizing the library were people that needed to be there, not there for other nefarious reasons, right? So I think maybe we kind of put our blinders on when we think about stuff like that, because I've never been in a library situation and I've used the library a lot, while going to school, that I've never seen anything like that. That just totally blows my mind.
And I don't go to the public library any longer. I just get, I download books onto my Kindle rather than go.
Do you prefer? I was going to let you go, but so here's another question. Do you prefer digital or do you prefer hard copy when it comes to books anymore?
Fiction. I like, that's fine on a Kindle. Poetry has to be hard copy. Nonfiction should be hard copy too. Right before the 75th anniversary of D-Day, I was reading a book about the Big Red One.
Oh, yeah.
On Omaha Beach. And I was reading it on my iPad, but I had to have my phone nearby. It's like, okay, now who's this? Did he win a Medal of Honor for this? Oh, checking them out. And of course, in the book, At the back, there were photographs. And in a hard copy, you can see the maps well. So nonfiction doesn't work well digitally. But fiction, the Kindle fits in my purse and doesn't weigh anything. But I read, you know, I mostly read fiction these days. I'm tired. I don't have a brain when I get home from work. Hey, they wear me out.
Well, I could understand. I pretty much try to, I power down when I come home. Just because, and not what that, what I do is complex, but there can be some complexities. We do a lot of analysis at work and, you know, everything starts to bleed together after 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, and so you're just like, you have to disconnect for a couple of hours and then you have to re-engage because, you know, a lot of the times we're on a truncated timetable with the things that we have to do. And sometimes the analysis that we're doing is for things in the future, like 3 to 5 years later. So, you know, while we're going to be gone, somebody's got to pick up, but, you know, we have to have all the statistical data there for them in order to continue whatever goal it is that we're trying to reach by analyzing and studying and looking at all this information. Oh. So yeah, at the end of the day, my brain's tapioca. I really don't want to do much of anything. So, but I listen to Audible. I have an Audible account. So I do the audiobook thing, which for me, not that I don't pay attention reading a hard copy, but for me, listening to the audio puts me in a position where I'm listening and I'm paying more attention by listening to somebody read and talk. And it's really funny because, you know, some of the individuals who are doing the narration are doing multiple voices and playing multiple characters, you know.
Oh, wow.
So it's you've got to have a talent to do that, because there's some audiobooks that I've listened to that are complete crap. When it comes to multiple characters, and you're just like going, you know, it's the same person because it's the same voice, just in a different tone, especially when you have a male reading, trying to impersonate a female voice. It some of them do it well, very eloquent. Others, it's like listening to somebody scratching their fingers across a crossboard, you know, crossboard. It could be that irritating to the point where I can't even finish the audiobook, you know? So, but yeah, unbelievable. It's just amazing how far we've come, but I usually prefer hardbound. I have the Big Red One. As a matter of fact, I have the book on my bookshelf. I haven't started reading it yet because I've got other books that I'm reading, you know, and other books that I'm listening to. And sci-fi has always been one of my fortes anyway, but I utilize audiobooks for that. But if there's a hard copy release, I'll buy it. I probably won't even break the binder, you know, because I've already heard it. But yeah, just really, really good. But anyway, Leslie, thank you for coming on to the show. I'm really glad that you were able to do so, you know, on a Sunday, you know, your day, the Sunday morning, the day before we go to work on Monday. So, but no, I really, really thank you. I would like to have you on the show again. Most definitely.
It's been a delight.
So thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue on the show from here. And we've got a couple of reviews to do before we close out. So hang on, hang tight. And Leslie, I really, really thank you for your time. And thank you again.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been fun.
All right. Well, you have the great rest of your weekend. And we will talk to you later.
All righty.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we're back. Sorry about that pause there, ladies and gentlemen. We got into a conversation after we went off the air, myself and Leslie did, and we were discussing a few more things about some of our personal experiences. And so, yeah, I was really glad to have her on the show. Wanted to just say, Leslie, I apologize. I was sitting here thinking about it. I probably talked a little too much. I should have let you elaborate more. So I apologize for that. I'm really, really sorry, but I did have fun. And the whole thing was what we didn't believe. I was sitting here looking at it and I'm like, we spent a full hour just talking, and that was pretty cool. So, Leslie, if you'd like to, I'd like to have you on the show again. So again, this was a big deviation of what I had originally planned. Was going to talk about a few things that, were on my mind at the time and, you know, and then intermix what we were going to talk about with, Leslie. But as I alluded to earlier, it wouldn't have been fair to her because I really didn't give her enough time, didn't give her show notes. So I figured, well, we do something on the fly and just have a general discussion, talk a little bit about last week's episode. So moving on. So we are going into our Media Bean segment, and I alluded to on Facebook and Facebook only. I didn't talk about it on Instagram. We talked about that we're going to do a double coffee review. Excuse me a second. Coffee. So what I'm going to talk about first, let me cue this music down. And what I'm going to also apologize in advance is that my two little dogs that you heard earlier, Chaos and Solo, Chaos is the older dog. She doesn't tolerate Solo too much, and she makes it known. Therefore, that's the reason why you heard the barking. And Solo is a little bit of a pain in the ass. He's just like his namesake. He is like Han Solo, just, you know, stubborn and a pain in the butt, and he likes to talk back, and you heard that. So if it happens again, I'm going to apologize in advance. I will pause and then pop right back in, and we'll go from there. But anyway, let's talk about what I originally posted. And I didn't post the second item I was going to talk about, and I should have, but I didn't, so I apologize for that. We're going to talk about, another product by Death Wish Coffee Company, their cold brew, slightly sweet black coffee. Now, they did, at one point, try nitro brew before. They did a nitro brew, but I would say that this product is way better than their first run that they did a couple of years ago. And I really, really like it. This is just some really good stuff. And I truthfully am not a huge fan of, of cold brew coffee. I will drink it on occasion, but it really is not my go-to. So they have slightly sweet black, and I believe they have unsweetened. It comes in a box of four. So there's 4 8-ounce cans. And, it packs a punch. It really, really does. There is 300 milligrams of caffeine per can. Again, it's a smooth taste, slightly sweet. For me, there's a little bit of a bitter note at the end. But that may be my taste buds. Your taste experience, your taste palate might be different than mine. It's dairy and gluten free. And what they talk about on the box overall is level up. Created. Do you ever notice how some people have a hard time saying creation? I've heard some people say content curators or curation. Curation, not created, curated. So I really try to make it a point to when I say created that I say it properly. I enunciate appropriately or properly. And I have a hard time doing that, especially when I'm amped up on caffeine and trying to talk. Basically, it says, let's try this once again, created with a blend of premium beans and a unique small batch roasting process, the world's strongest coffee revolutionized the way we drink coffee. And now we're revolutionizing the way you drink cold brew. Our slightly sweetened black cold brew is like you, always bold, and just sweet enough to keep your enemies fooled. Sip on our highly sweetened cold brew, and who knows what will happen. Are you ready to find out? So if you're interested in a nitro cold brew, go to www.deathwishcoffee.com and find out. I bought this off of Amazon because it was not available on their website. I've now been notified via email that it is, so you could either get the sweetened or unsweetened version. I will tell you that even the sweetened version, it's not overly sweet. If you are one of those people that likes creamer or a flavored creamer in your coffee, I would suggest adding to it because I believe either way, it's going to still pack a punch for you. I'm giving this a 5 coffee bean out of 5 coffee bean rating simply because it really packs a punch. It's really smooth and sweet, just as advertised. And they do have Best Buy dates. So they do expire. But I will tell you, there's a long period of time. So this one is Best Buy 20 May 2020. So that's a really relatively long time. Not that they would ever last even a week in my house, but overall, it gives you an expiration date on the box. So again, www.deathwishcoffee.com is where you can get it. You could also get it on Amazon. I got it one day. Matter of fact, I was so impressed with the first box that we ordered that I ordered two more boxes yesterday and got them, or Friday and got them yesterday. So I'm already ready and loaded. The next piece I want to talk about, is Death Brew. I fucked that up, didn't I? Hey, to be fair, it's close enough. So the other coffee I want to talk about, and I've had this before, and I may have mentioned it on a previous episode, but I don't think I really spoke on it very much. It is called Dead Man's Reach by Raven's Brew Coffee. And I will tell you, I've made multiple cups of Raven's Brew over the period of the past 2 to 3 days. I really, really enjoy this coffee. They're based out of, I want to say Alaska, but they do have a, I'm not sure if it's a coffee shop, but they do have a satellite office, I'll say, in Washington. And you can order their coffee. They have other coffees there at www.ravensbrewcoffee. That's all one word, RavensBrewCoffee.com. So let's talk about Dead Man's Reach by Raven's Brew Coffee. Dead Man's Reach is a shoal along Baranof Island in Peril Strait in the Alexander Archipelago of Southeast Alaska. We thought Dead Man's Reach sounded like coffee and were inspired to design this special high-speed blend of very rare coffees for jump-starting your mornings, long-haul trucking, cramming for exams, winning races, inspiring great ideas and noble emotions, graveyard shifts, deadlines, states of absolute bliss, and pure coffee pleasure. Revitalize your lifestyle and resurrect your palate with Dead Man's Reach, the libation with the sweet bite, the elixir for a new millennium bone coffee. It is really, really good. I've brewed multiple batches. I am already a quarter of the way in, almost half of the way in to, this 12 ounce dark roast. It is really, really good. They have a lot of other flavors. I think, I may be getting this wrong. Three peckered billy goat. I can't make this shit up. Again, it's really, really good coffee. I encourage you to try it. This one in particular, this particular flavor, I would also give this a 5 coffee bean out of 5 coffee bean rating overall. Just great. So 2 coffees, double barrel it. Didn't have any cold brew this morning only because I've been drinking Dead Man's Reach today. Drank cold brew Friday and so had 2 cans. And I was pinging off the walls. It was great. It was a good energy boost. Got a lot of work done, was very productive. Not that I'm not productive without the caffeine, but I was more productive than normal drinking the Death Wish cold brew. So those are the two, that I would steer you to. My recommendation, for the week, again, cold brew at www.deathwishcoffee.com. And then, of course, Dead Man's Reach. And that will be www.ravensbrewcoffee.com. So again, I think we're going to go ahead and close the show here because this show has actually gone over than what our normal time was. There was some other things that I did want to talk about and get to. But we'll go ahead and we'll save that for the next show. In the meantime, we talked about it earlier. There's been 2 mass shootings. I overheard one. I haven't read anything on it, but I believe the other one happened in Ohio. As Leslie said earlier, I think within 16 hours apart from one another, some people are speculating that it's related. Some others are not. But El Paso being my hometown, my heart goes out to, the family members of those that were, that lost their lives in such an unfortunate accident, and things to take place. And it's a really scary thought process to have to go through. But I'm glad that those that I do know and have kept close contact with and family members and friends, that they're safe. You know, it's a tragedy. So heart goes out to El Paso. I want to tell you all that, you know, my prayers are with you all and that I'm constantly thinking about you. It's just a tragic event to take place. So, but that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to go ahead and end the show here. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music can be found at melodyloops.com. That's www.melodyloops.com. If you want to send us an email, have comments about today's or other shows. Does that sound right? Today or other shows. We want to hear from you. You can email us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's all one word, at gmail.com, or you can post your comments on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net. You could also follow me on Twitter at nosyntaxpodcast or Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Don't forget, we are on iTunes. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. We will still love you. So, ladies and gentlemen, Leslie, glad to have you on the show. It was a wonderful experience. Great talking to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going back and forth with this. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show, and we will talk to you again soon.